After a mixed double game week 20, what do we do with United as they try to topple Arsenal? Is it all about going big on Brighton and mixing it up with Matoma? And we end with a discussion about how to deviate between differentials. It's Thursday. It's almost the end of another double game week. Hello, we are back for another FPL pod. So morning, Sam Bonfield.
Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm feeling quite good despite another disastrous week in FPL. Let's move on. Yes, we'll talk about that in just a moment. Morning, Jules, or should I say bonjour, Jules, this week, because you're out in Paris.
I am indeed. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Sam. Hi, everybody. Yeah, I'm in Paris because I'm attending the NBA game on Thursday night between the Detroit Pistons and the Chicago Bulls, if you're an NBA fan. So I'm very excited, even if they're not very good teams. It doesn't matter so much. The NBA is in Europe and it's always a special moment.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty cool, pretty jazzy, but our guest today is actually a lot cooler than that, Jules. Sorry to tell you. We've actually got a multi-number one selling music artist. It's the guitarist from You, Me at Six, who also happens to be big into FPL. Welcome along to Max Hellier. Thanks for coming on, Max.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Yes, I'm very good, thank you. We're really excited to have you on. So firstly, in fact, let's just get this out of the way because I'm also told, and Jules is going to love this, you're an Arsenal fan, is that right?
That is correct. Yes, I'm an Arsenal
fan.
Oh, not again.
Great man.
I've heard you've had a few Arsenal fans on the podcast recently as well.
It's 2 weeks on the trot now, this is.
For context, as you can probably hear, Sam is a Spurs fan. And this week of all weeks, this probably isn't ideal. I had nothing to do with the bookings, but it is great to have you on. Tell us a little bit about life then and how FPL fits into life. Because I've got visualizations of rehearsals scheduled around deadlines, transfers happening backstage. It must be pretty hard to keep across FPL with such a hectic life, being on tour and the like.
Yeah, FPL from a musician's stand is it can be difficult when you're traveling about. You know, I definitely, especially this season, I think it was about just like middle of September, we were going to America for a 5-week tour. And I was panicking because I was like, right, we're going, we're flying quite early. I need to get my team in place. You know, I need to make sure I'm ready. And when you're traveling through the airport with like your crew and the rest of the guys in the band, it's like you're talking away and you get to the gate and I'm like, I haven't done my team. So I'm panicking then. I'm like, I need to do my transfers. I need to make sure I'm ready. And you're getting on the plane and all of a sudden it's like, it's disabled and I can't make the changes. So I had a couple of duff weeks while I was over in America. And obviously with the time difference as well, it's hard to keep up with. And for me, you know, match of the day is a big thing. You know, I watch it pretty much every week, both match of the day one and two. And that's like my source when I can't watch the football to kind of keep up to date of who's the different players, who's actually getting the points and who's playing well and performing. And kind of having that taken away from you is a real struggle. So I'm sitting there just trying to watch the games in bars if it's at a decent time. You know, obviously I was lucky enough to go to a few Arsenal American pubs. I went to Cleveland and Minneapolis, which were great games for us, you know. So I think the Minneapolis ones where we beat Liverpool 3-1 and the whole room was electric. So, you know, it was really good, but it can be difficult, but you have to be prepared and just kind of watch what the schedules are looking like and be like 3-4 weeks in advance. Because if you make one mistake, it can really cost you some points, as I found out the hard way.
Go on, tell us the story.
There's just leaving players on the bench when you don't want to leave them on the bench. You've had a really good gig. So everybody's like, we'll have a couple of drinks, we'll have a few beers. And that turns into a late one. And then obviously the time difference, you've totally missed the schedule and you've missed the deadline. So it did cost me a few points. And I left a few players in that I probably should have transferred out, but I wasn't watching all the games. So it was really hard to see who was in form, who was changing, who was a great player, you know, and doing business. And then some of them just dropped off. So, you know, I think that's part of a musician's life is just look at the advanced schedule and make good decisions, which, you know, fingers crossed I'm going to be doing over the next few weeks as we're going to be going away on tour in February.
Max, is it like a big thing amongst the music community? Like, are there lots of musicians that you come across playing the game?
Yeah, there definitely is a big music community involved with FPL. I'm in a group called Official FPL Music, which has a lot of artists and people from the music industry in there. You know, Loyal Karna's in there, Matt Keane, the bass player from Bring the Horizon, Ben Thatcher, the drummer from Royal Blood. There's a lot of them. There's about 30 to 40 people in that group. And it's been a lot of fun. I've been doing that for about 2-3 years now. And it's always nice to see some of your peers in there. And if you're above somebody like, and I'm above Lorcana right now, and he's a Liverpool fan. So it kind of sums up their season as well with the way they're playing and maybe he's playing. I think he's got Jesus still in his team, which is a bit of a mistake as well, obviously, because he's injured. And it's just been something, you know, for years that I've been involved with. The first group I was in was a team called the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And that was just very much a close knit of my friends. And we did it for a lot of fun. And that's kind of carried on. And over the years, the groups have just expanded. And the one I'm in this year is a group called Major Money, who I know listen to this podcast very much so. And I want to give those guys a shout out because it's definitely been a lot of fun. We have a WhatsApp group and it's always when the football games are on, we're giving banter, we're talking about it. Even last night, the leader, Carl, is a Man United fan. And I think he was a bit frustrated with the Casemiro yellow card, obviously, because he had Casemiro in his team and it's a big derby this weekend for Arsenal versus Man U. So I'm sure he's going to be reshuffling his team. But it's definitely, between my friends, it's a big thing, the FPL.
And one of your recent singles, My Dopamine, is also on the official FPL Spotify playlist. But it was one of your other songs, your recent releases, Mixed Emotions. I wondered if that's maybe a reflection of your feelings towards FPL?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. For my season, it's definitely been a feeling of mixed emotions because there's been some weeks that have been great and I'm doing really good. And then it's just some weeks that things haven't gone right. And I think especially with game week 20 as well, I had double game fever and I put quite a lot of players in and I used my triple captain as well. And I'm sitting here going, have I wasted a big moment in the fantasy Premier League? So I'm torn now and I have to make real clever decisions moving forward and play differential players and try and do something a little bit different to claw some points back from my side.
We are going to be talking about differentials a little bit later in the podcast. So it's very timely that you're on. But let's reflect a little bit on double game week 20 because it isn't over yet, Max. Don't give up all hope. No. At the time of recording, of course, we're still going to see Spurs and Manchester City in action again. Sam was rolling her eyes as I said that because I think the thought of Spurs Man City is sending chills through her spine. I'm going to ask you how game week 20 was. I'm not going to ask you as a fan. I'm asking you as an FPL manager.
Well, very much mixed emotions. I mean, I decided to back the things I said on last week's podcast and captain Marcus Rashford this week over Haaland.
Yeah,
good decision. No? Yeah.
So far, so good. However, this is the Spurs defence against Haaland that we've now got to contend with tonight because I must admit that when I captained Rashford, I'd done it on the basis of the Crystal Palace game, not the derby last weekend. So when he scored in the derby, I was like, right, okay, this is great. This gives me a little bit of a boost, an unexpected boost that I was kind of like, well, I think I'm in a nice position now because I'm going into the better fixture. Because arguably on paper, if you've got a choice between captaining Marcus Rashford against Crystal Palace or Haaland against Spurs, I think you'd probably punt for Marcus Rashford. And then watching the game yesterday evening, I was like, oh, Marcus, I just need just one goal from you. That's all I need. And of course I didn't get it. So now I am feeling a little bit worried because Haaland's captaincy is huge. As Max alluded to, there are so many triple captains, over 480,000, I think, people triple captaining Haaland this week. So that's a huge number. And if he bangs, my overall rank is going to absolutely tank. But I have to kind of hope now that he stays quiet from both an FPL and a Premier League perspective. Obviously, the Spurs fan in me is thinking, just do a job on him, Eric Dier. Keep him quiet. And then that will help my FPL team. But, you know, I've got a few players going into that one. We're yet to know whether Cancelo is going to start. He did start in the derby. And I actually thought played well until the Bruno Fernandes goal. He was doing a really good job. And post the 60-minute mark, I was like, Pep, it's roulette time. Take him off. Because you just never know, do you, whether that clean sheet's going to stick. And of course, it didn't. So I've got him. I took the punt on Mahrez. I've got him. I've got Haaland and I've got Kane. So big night tonight for my FPL team.
What about you, Jules? How's it gone?
Not great, I have to say. I brought in Lisandro Martinez because I thought, more for the Crystal Palace game, I thought they're going to keep a clean sheet there. In the end, they conceded late and he got a yellow card as well. And he didn't play against City until he came on and towards the end, which I was gutted about again. It was not a good move. at all. For the rest, I didn't captain Rashford. I kept it with Haaland. It's mixed feelings for this game week.
Okay, let's look back on some of the key headlines from so far then. And let's firstly focus in on the two teams that have played doubles. We spoke so much about them last week. We all talked, Max, about having double game week fever. Don't worry, you weren't the only one that had it. United and Palace, though, we were all, as Jules alluded to there, we were particularly excited about United playing Palace. Did you have any United players and how did they do for you?
Yeah, I also have Marcus Rashford and Luke Shaw on my team. And these are two players that, you know, I kept my eyes on before the World Cup. And just seeing Marcus Rashford flourish at the World Cup, it was, right, he's got to go in the team when it was the free transfer period. And then I think I waited a week and saw how Luke Shaw was performing. And I was like, you know what, I have to get Luke Shaw into the team as well because he's just doing amazingly. And you have to give a shout out to Ten Hag on this and how he's transformed the United team. Because even if you look back to where they were when they got absolutely thrashed by Brentford 4-0, you would never sit here and expect them to be in the top four challenge right now. So he's done an amazing job at United and they're playing amazing football. And, you know, I think they were a little bit unlucky to concede that goal. It was a great free kick, I think, from Elise last night. It was unstoppable. So, you know, that has affected my clean sheet for Luke Shaw. I had Rashford as my vice captain. You know, I triple captain Haaland. You know, so I was also flirting with, does Rashford get the nod ahead? Because obviously against Crystal Palace, and I don't think they've been performing as well recently, but that's the game, isn't it, with FPL? And, you know, Haaland's been very much unstoppable for most of the season. And, you know, in a double game week, I just thought this is a time for him to really shine, especially in the derby games he's got.
Well, whilst we all went for Marcus Rashford, the top scoring Manchester United player was Bruno Fernandes. And Jules, he was someone that I saw quite a lot of FPL managers toying with bringing in. Is he now firmly back on our radar?
Yeah, I think so, Kelly. I think Sam mentioned him either in the last show or the one before. Got a bit lucky, of course. I mean, lucky is not the word, but for his goal against Manchester City, and we're not going to go back on the controversy of that goal or not, whether you agree or not with it, but he scored and he scored again. And Ten Hag clearly using him in a bit of a different way than maybe previous managers, getting the best out of him. There's a lot of the magic pass that can happen from him, but we know what a good runner is in the sense that he's so good in terms of fitness to go up and down the pitch, to go and to be in the box, make those runs from midfield into the box, to be there to for a cross or to shoot on the edge of the box like for the City goal and stuff like that. So definitely, I think if you have the money, if you're looking for a midfielder, if you're not too happy with Mo Salah or Almiron anymore, or Martinelli maybe, I don't know, there might be a few things in your mind about changing someone in midfield, then I think Bruno has to be quite high on your shortlist.
Shout out as well, Sam, for Michael Olise, because he was someone that I did briefly look at. I'm saying briefly because I'm not bold enough to do it. I was going to get rid of Leandro Trossard and bring him in at 5.4 million. He was a nice differential going into this game week. And as Max said before, that was some free kick.
Oh, what an unbelievable free kick. I mean, I must say, again, mixed emotions with that one because I sat there and I was like, oh, wow, what a free kick. Oh, my clean sheet's gone. And it was one of those kind of like moments. But yeah, I think for sure, when you go into double game weeks, it's very easy to go, right, I need to have, you know, Haaland, Rashford, Shaw, I need Kane, and to kind of overlook the other teams that play twice. And, you know, we saw the Jekyll and Hyde of Palace, didn't we, this game week, though, because we saw them play particularly, they weren't great against Chelsea. Chelsea, who haven't been great themselves, managing to get the win out of them. And they go into this game against Manchester United, where I thought they did a fantastic job of keeping Marcus Rashford quiet. And if you keep Marcus Rashford quiet and you limit the opportunities that Manchester United have, you're always going to give yourself the opportunity to just be in the game. And right at the death, if anyone was going to win it, it looked like it was going to be Palace. They were the ones that were kind of pushing. Zaha got into a nice position right at the end. And were it not for an amazing tackle from Wan-Bissaka to kind of take the ball away from him, they could easily have won that game in the end. So I think, you know, it's a lesson for all of us as FPL managers, isn't it? That, you know, just because these players are, you know, not from the best teams, or, you know, the other teams are more attractive in terms of their form so far, doesn't mean we should overlook them. And in a position like you were, Kelly, where you've got a player like Trossard who's just not been playing, taking a punt every now and then can work out in your favour, particularly if it's a position you're then happy to change again the week after.
Yeah, I wish you told me that last week. No, I'm joking. I can't blame anyone but myself for my disastrous
But did you put
decisions.
Trossard on your bench? What happened with Trossard? Because you knew
sub.
He was not going to play,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I put him as third sub.
Oh, third.
I decided to
You should keep him because he's a good lad in the dressing room. Just keep him.
I decided I had other problems that needed to be sorted out before that. Okay. So I bought in... Oh, it doesn't matter what I did. It didn't go to plan once again.
No. How many... Did you beat your total points from last week or is he still in the 30s?
I can't remember. It wasn't in the 30s. I'm not that bad. I've had a few bad weeks.
Sorry, I thought it was.
It's funny. Right, it's also funny because when I was having a really good season at the beginning of the season, beating both you and Sam, and also last season when I did really well, I didn't mention it on this podcast. All of a sudden,
you
I start doing
bragging.
Badly, and every week, everyone wants to know how I'm doing. It's funny, isn't it?
I'm just asking by curiosity.
This is the life of an FPL manager, I guess. However, not everyone has to speak on a podcast about it. Anyway, moving on, parking double game week fever for a moment, because something that we did also talk about last week was the fact you just cannot ignore the single game week teams. Mm-hmm. And Sam and Jules, you picked out Brighton as being one of them. Brighton 3, Liverpool 0, the final score. I think we expected Brighton to put in a good performance and potentially get a result, but that was some result, wasn't it? Max, what have you made of, firstly, Brighton, but also Liverpool?
Let's start with Brighton, you know, because I think we can't... Let's start with the positive here, because I think Brighton have just been a fantastic team over the last few seasons, and they've really kicked into... an amazing team this season. They're playing fantastically, even though losing the manager and having a new manager come into the dressing room. I'm going to mention Mitoma because Matoma's in my team. I've had him in there for a couple of weeks now. And obviously he was, when I bought him at 4.9 and he was owned by less than 1% of fantasy Premier League owners. You know, I thought this guy's playing fantastic football and he flourished through the World Cup as well. And he had a really good spell beforehand and he's really brought in the goods for me right now. And I think he's a player that over the next couple of weeks is going to definitely grow in people's teams. And, you know, you've got to give a shout out to Solly March. What a performance he put against Liverpool there. Like, it was outrageous. And if you had him in your team, good on you, because I don't think many people saw that. So... And then you kind of go to Liverpool and I feel like it's difficult to watch how well Liverpool were playing. You know, not for me as an Arsenal fan, I'm really embracing this, to be honest with you. I'm going, come on, love to see it. Sorry, Liverpool fans out there, but I just don't know what's going on. If the players are responding to Klopp anymore, obviously with Jurgen, there is the thing he called it the 7-year curse where he's had it when he's managed other teams before and it's his 7th year at Liverpool right now. But, you know, obviously they got a win against Wolves in the cup. You know, are they going to gain some momentum from that now? And obviously losing to Brighton 3-0, I think there's a lot of pressure on them to really start performing again. So I don't think this game going into game week 21 against Chelsea is going to be an easy call. They're both playing for something right now to kind of move forward. So I've got Salah in my team and he's definitely been one I'm looking to potentially switch out. So... I'm going to just kind of hold fire maybe for game week 21 and then see what happens from there.
Solly March is someone that we have to talk about more, Sam. 19 points is a remarkable score for one game. The highest score in the game week, along with Bruno Fernandes as it stands. There have only been 3 higher scores than this in a game week all season. It's remarkable, isn't it? Whatever De Zerbi has done with him is amazing.
It is, yeah. And we, you know, we spent a long time, like you said earlier on the pod last week, talking about Brighton. And I think we didn't mention Solly March, did we, Jules? We spoke about Mitoma, we spoke about McAllister, you know, we spoke about all of these kind of differential Brighton players because they're still lowly owned, but the ones that are kind of growing in popularity. And then Solly March comes up and goes, hi, FPL managers, did you forget about me? And it's like, yeah, actually, Solly, we did really, because we've kind of overlooked you on the basis that Mitoma is so cheap and he's been in these advanced positions and McAllister, well, he's won the World Cup and he's been doing amazing things there. But with March, you're getting a player that's playing in exactly the right position for us as FPL managers in a Brighton team that's all about the attack. And, you know, we said last week, Brighton defensively, not so solid, but Brighton going forward, brilliant recently. So picking out a Brighton player, it's almost got to the point where it doesn't really matter whether you want to go with March, whether you want to go with Mitoma, whether you want to go with McAllister, whether you want to double up, because the fixtures look like you can. it's just a phenomenal achievement. And when you think, you know, after the first 10 games of the game week, he was the highest scoring player across everybody. And that includes, you know, the players that we were expecting to do really well. So yeah, Solly March, massive, massive shout out if you had him. I think he was like 2% owned at the start of game week 20. So if you've got him, he's boosted your rank massively.
When I said that only three players have got higher scores than this in a game week all season, I could hear people listening thinking, I wonder what those other players are. So a bit of trivia, Jules, Max, Sam, I know knows the answer because she wrote this bit of trivia for me. Who are the other three players who have got higher than 19 points in a game week this season? Who do you think?
Haaland has to be one. Correct. Even just for the hat trick.
Yep.
And then, so two more. Is Haaland there twice?
No, Haaland's there once.
Yeah, Erling Haaland got 23 points against Manchester United in game week 9 for his hat trick. So you even got the right game. Well done, Jules.
Is it another Brighton player by any chance?
Yeah, Trossard against Liverpool. The hat trick.
I'm cheering. Like, I'm fist pumping because that was when he was good and I didn't have him actually, but I'm showing you that there was method to my madness. Yeah, that was DeAndre Trossard. He got 20 points in game week 9 as well against Liverpool away. The other one, I don't know if you'll get, and also it doesn't make great audio, does it, for a podcast when we're all just sitting here in silence thinking. The other one, Roberto Firmino in game week 4 against Bournemouth, wow. 2 goals and 3 assists. He got 22 points. So a bit of trivia for you there. Anyway, moving on. Sorry, Sam. We've got quite a way through the podcast without having to mention the North London Derby.
Oh, here we go.
Jules, anything you'd like to get out of your system?
Yeah, did you see me waving at you? I mean, I waved at the whole stadium. I was so happy. Like, I was beside before. I did my lap of honour after. It was just...
Funnily enough, I didn't stay for your lap of honour, Jules. I quickly made my exit.
Okay, let's focus on Arsenal. Sorry, Sam, but maybe it's better to focus on
Arsenal. I'd rather talk
about
them at the minute.
Let's focus on Arsenal from an FPL point of view. Mm-hmm. I want to know, Jules, are we now realising, we've spoken a lot, haven't we, about who's the best Arsenal attacker and maybe we can have Gabriel Martinelli over the likes of Bukayo Saka because he's a little bit cheaper. But is Martinelli actually the wrong Arsenal attacker to have? Should it be Saka or even potentially a little bit cheaper, Martin Odegaard?
I think right now the momentum is certainly with Odegaard. I don't think he will be given that much freedom every single week and starting by Sunday against United, because I do think that especially in the first half, like Spurs just forgot to be aggressive and forgot to kind of press the Arsenal players and don't give them so much time on the ball, which is true.
He's enjoying this too much.
No, I'm just saying, you know. So I don't think Odegaard will get that freedom all the time. However, he's in that kind of form where he's impacting the game so much that I think if you need just one, and if you, let's say, don't have already one, if you have Martinelli and Saka, I think it's hard to swap for another one. But if you don't have any, then I think of the three, I would probably go for Odegaard. Now, I've got Martinelli, and Martinelli is capable and you saw against Spurs, of moment of brilliance, of course, and Saka as well. And maybe Saka is even more influential than Martinelli to a certain extent. But Odegaard has been the man recently, really. There's no doubt. And I think he's a very confident player. In a way, he's still very young, but I think when he feels that sort of confidence and that strength and in his own ability, as well as in the team doing so well, that I think that just takes him to another level again. So yeah, very impressed by Odegaard. And really, if you don't have any, or if you want to swap Martinelli and Saka for Odegaard, I think it could be quite smart.
Any further pain you'd like to inflict on Sam, Max?
He's thinking about it.
It's, you know, I should be sitting here really rubbing it in. But, you know, that's quite mean. And you've invited me onto your podcast. So as an Arsenal fan, you know, I'm smitten. You know, obviously we've been sitting here now for, you know, a few years. We've had some painful years as well. But, you know, I was just really proud of the Arsenal performance when you go into a North London derby, especially at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And it's our first win since they've moved there. So I think it just shows, if you're an Arsenal fan right now, how far we've come and what a fantastic team and what a great job Arteta's doing there. Because like you were saying, like, is it Martinelli? Is it Odegaard? Is it Saka? Like, if it's Odegaard having his flourish right now, people will go and mark him, but then it'll only open up for Martinelli. And then the same for Saka as well. They're all in such fine form at the moment and really playing as a great team. We've got a few good games coming up now. You know, obviously we've got United at the weekend and then it's a nice little run. And then we've got the double game week a couple of weeks away with Brentford and City. And I think this has been the moment of the season for Arsenal to show, you know, can we secure that number one spot and keep going? Because it's always, there's always a purple patch of Arsenal. You don't know when it's going to come. I'm just very happy how it's going right now. I'm very glad with the scoreline against Spurs this weekend as an Arsenal fan. I'm sure every Arsenal fan is as well. Sorry, Sam.
Sam, you'll be pleased to know we're running quite long, so we can actually move on from this.
Yes.
Unless you want to write to reply.
No, I mean, the only thing I will say is that I think in all of that rhetoric that we've just mentioned there, we shouldn't forget about the Arsenal defence, because they obviously kept the clean sheet at the weekend, and the likes of Saliba, Gabriel, they're still offering fantastic value for money, even Ben White. You know, they look like great options in FPL, and as the guys just said, you know, there's double game weeks coming up, there's a really nice run of fixtures there for Arsenal, where we could easily forget as managers to invest in the defenders, because there's so many attractive picks in the Arsenal attacking lineup right now. So just a word of caution, because a lot of people will have benched their Arsenal players this weekend in terms of Saliba and Gabriel White. They will have sat on a lot of FPL managers' benches. Yeah, so you don't, Max.
Too.
There you go.
Me as well.
Yeah, because people would have expected Spurs to score, right? And there were opportunities. If it wasn't for Aaron Ramsdale having an absolutely phenomenal second half, where he was probably the best I've ever seen him play, and that'll please Jules, because we know he's Aaron Ramsdale's biggest fan. We would have seen Spurs score, but they were really good, really solid defensively for the majority of that game. And that's what you need, right? If your defenders get themselves into trouble, you need a goalkeeper that backs them up and gets in the way of everything. And if they continue to do that defensively, then we should be looking to have an Arsenal attacker, whether you want to stick with Martinelli or swap to one of the others, but definitely have an Arsenal defender in there too.
Okay, let's flip this forward then to the next game week, game week 21. There is two absolutely huge fixtures in this game week that we need to talk about. Normally I do it in chronological, but I'm going to do it backwards because we've just been talking about Arsenal. Let's continue the chat going into their game against Manchester United. Firstly, Sam, off the back of what you've just said there, going into this game, do we start our Arsenal defensive assets despite Manchester United's form? Because this is another tricky dilemma for managers.
Yeah, it is. But I think we have to kind of learn some lessons here with our Arsenal defenders, because we've seen over the course of the season so far that Saliba and Gabriel and players like that have got attacking threat as well. So I think there's an opportunity here for you to be able to play them, because in these massive games, you never really know how they're going to pan out. I think if I had White, I'd probably still be inclined to bench him for this one, just because I do think that Manchester United will score. However, with the other two, I think with the attacking prowess, particularly that Saliba has, I would be looking to probably start them in this game, because, you know, Manchester United proved against Crystal Palace that they're not, if you can man mark Rashford out of the game, you can kind of control what they're doing. And Arsenal, they could easily do that.
Okay, so there's a lesson for Jules, Max and myself, because we all benched our Arsenal defenders last week. Looking at this fixture overall, there's going to be a lot of managers, Jules, with a lot of Manchester United players having gone big on them for the double game week. Do we play them in this fixture? Because this is, looking at the form, you'll be pleased I'm saying this, but arguably one of the hardest games of the season for them.
Yeah, it'll be tough. But I think the way Arsenal will play, and they will play like they always do, and they will have a lot of the ball, and they will press high and counter press quickly and all that kind of stuff, there will be a lot of space to run into for Manchester United on the counter, which they've been very good at also this season. They've been very good at a lot of things under Ten Hag. And I think he brought a lot of variety to the way they play and the way they set up. So I think they can go on the counter. Bruno, Martial, I suspect, will come back. Rashford, of course. Antony might play, or he might go for something a little bit different there. Obviously, the Casemiro suspension is massive for everything they do defensively and offensively. So if Casemiro had started, I would say, like, we're not far from a 50-50 or 55-45 Arsenal, if you want. Without Casemiro, I think it's a little bit of a different picture. And I think Arsenal are more favourite now. And rightly so, I've got nothing against Fred and McTominay. But let's be honest, Casemiro has been outstanding for them all season long. So it's a huge loss. I would still play Rashford and Bruno, whoever you have as an attacking player from United, even knowing he's going to be tough. But the Casemiro absence will make it, I mean, more difficult for United to go there and win and get something.
If managers are looking at the form of Arsenal and looking at the league table, Max, and realising they're 8 points clear at the top of the Premier League and they want to invest, Do you think they should wait another week before buying one of the Gunners players, or is it okay to buy them now? Because as Sam said, potentially in these big fixtures, you don't quite know how it's going to go.
No, correct there, Kelly. I was going to say, I actually think there's going to be goals both ends in this game. I think it's going to be a real show of what the fight is for the top four this season. And if you want to take the risk, go for it. I think that's what the FPL league's all about right now, is taking risks. So I would say if you haven't got an Arsenal player, definitely invest. And the same as United players. I think they're proving to you right now that they are giving you the returns, you know. So if you're looking to keep clean sheets, it is a risk this week, because I think there will be goals. Like the fixture we had at the earlier on in the season when it was Old Trafford, I think it was 3-1 to United. You know, this game's got goals in it. I've got Saliba on my bench right now. I'm debating about switching him out for sure. It's such a tough option here. And it's left me in a bit of a tricky position because I don't know which way to turn. I'm going to be sitting there until Saturday, going back and forth, switching each player out. But I think like you've all said, is the Casemiro yellow card last night is a big blow for United. And I think that's going to give Arsenal a little bit of the upper hand, especially in that midfield area where we play quite a lot of great football at the moment.
Okay, reversing back to earlier in the weekend, Liverpool versus Chelsea. Now, Sam, there's no doubt that this is a big game, but weirdly, it doesn't feel as big in terms of FPL, probably because of the form of Liverpool and Chelsea this season. How are you seeing this one from an FPL point of view?
Oh, this one is so difficult to call, isn't it? So I have Darwin still in my team. I very nearly took a -4 to take him out when the news of the injury broke. But Klopp's been saying he hopes to have him back in training. He hopes he might be back in contention for the weekend.
Didn't he say that last week, though?
Yeah, he did. But I think realistically, you know, it was a bit tight, wasn't it, from the injury concern that he had going into game week 20. And then I don't think he was realistically ever likely to play him in the FA Cup replay in midweek. I think he was always probably going to get a rest, given that he rested some big players in that game. This is also the 12:30 kickoff, which is always a kind of a weird kickoff time, isn't it? And particularly when big matches happen. Sometimes you get crackers like we did with the Derby last time around. And sometimes you get games that on paper should be excellent, but just never really get that spark. And I fear that this might be one of those games that we end up with a bit of a kind of a stalemate, really. I had a little look at the underlying stats for Liverpool because, you know, Max has said he's got Salah, Jules still got Salah, I've got Darwin. And you're kind of always toying with what you do with your Liverpool assets right now because they're so expensive. Bruno Fernandes is putting his hand up again this week and saying, oh, hello, would you like to have me as a premium asset? Then obviously you've always got the Manchester City ones that are always there or thereabouts. Liverpool have had 59 goal attempts since the restart. That's the same number as Manchester City have had. Only Chelsea and Arsenal have had more than they have in that period. They've scored 6 goals, which only 4 teams have scored more than since the restart. And they're averaging a chance every 6.5 minutes, which only Arsenal are having a chance more often than. They've had one every 6.3 minutes so far. So I look at the underlying stats and think, well, they are getting in the right places. They're having the opportunities. They're doing the right things. They're just not converting them. And I think the major issue that they have has obviously been the injuries that Liverpool have had. You know, they're without some really key players in the likes of Luis Diaz and Jota, and without Darwin at times. They've had to kind of throw in Cody Gakpo without really giving him the chance to bed in to training and understand the system. I am torn because part of me thinks I should really stick by my Liverpool assets because the underlying stats suggest that they will come good. But it's very hard in FPL to keep staying loyal when there's no FPL points coming on the back of the loyalty.
Jules and Max, you've both got Mo Salah. And Sam said there it's hard to keep hold of players that aren't scoring FPL points. Now, he's not scoring FPL points, but he's not scoring FPL points at the rate that we have become used to. What are you doing with him, Jules?
Yeah, I think he blanked the last 3 weeks, 3 games. The thing is, what Sam said, I'm sure we had that conversation already 4 or 5 times this season after a good Champions League game because they've had good performance in the Champions League. They beat Napoli, for example. Only 2 teams this season have beaten Napoli. And after that, we said, okay, yeah, they've turned a corner now. The stats look better or look good. They can do, and then in the end, nothing happened and they're 8th in the table and they've been so inconsistent. I still think the midfield is a big issue. And I'm interested to see what Klopp is going to do against Chelsea because the midfield against Wolves with Bacsetic, and you know, it worked well in a way. And Thiago, I just don't know if you're bold enough to go with such a young player for such a big game, but potentially he can do. I just think that if they sort out the midfield, then the rest will follow almost. So I'm going to keep Salah just because it's the hope that kills you, isn't it? So I'm just hoping that, okay, this week is going to be the week. And then when we do the show next week, we're like, oh yeah. So it was not a good week for Mo Salah again.
How much patience have you got with the Egyptian, Max?
Yeah, I'm having the same problem right now, my team. You know, how long can you be reliable to Salah being the most expensive midfielder in the game right now? And like you said, he's blanked in the FPL a few weeks now. It's just a tough call, because I do think this is going to be a tough game for both Chelsea and Liverpool. Obviously, Chelsea have just got their new sign of Mudryk in. And they've, well, Felix is out as well because he got the red card suspension. Liverpool getting the win against Wolves, is that going to give them enough momentum to go into this game, knowing that they're both roughly in the same position? I think they've got the same points as well right now in the league. It's very tough to make that decision. I'm kind of with Julian, though. I think to have a Liverpool player in there, because he's my only Liverpool player in my team right now. And if they pull out some magic this weekend and go and beat Chelsea and I switch out Salah, I'm going to be furious, you know, because you can see Salah will be the turning point if Liverpool go forward. He always pulls out some magic. So I think I'm going to be loyal one more week. I'm also looking at their fixtures coming up as well. And I'm like, well, you know, they've got Wolves, they've got Everton, and then it's Newcastle. I'm trying to think forward as well here and going, if I pull him out this week against Chelsea, am I going to regret that?
Okay, Jules. A week or 8 days in our case can be a very long time, because the last time we recorded the podcast, Chelsea had literally announced the signing of João Felix while we were recording. So you gave us a bit of insight on him on that podcast. What you didn't tell us was that he was actually going to get a red card in his first game.
Why didn't you tell everyone, Jules?
What are you going to tell us about Mudryk? Is he going to be an option for us in FPL?
Yeah, I think so, Kelly. At 7 million is someone that you have to keep in mind. Maybe this is too early now, because let's not forget that he hasn't played a proper football match since November because of the World Cup break, of course. And then it was also the winter break for Shakhtar and the Ukrainian leagues and clubs. He's been training in Turkey with Shakhtar, now with Chelsea, starting to train with the rest of the team. But we don't really know yet, physically and fitness-wise, if he's ready or not to get a few minutes to start and when that will happen. So maybe not just now, too early, but in a couple of weeks maybe less, maybe a little bit more. I think he's got so much talent. He's such a huge potential that it will have to be kept in mind. And I think if you move at the right time, when he's still very much a differential, because it will be at some point between the 0% to the 10%, there will be a period of time there. Then if you bring him at the right time, I think you can capitalize on him. But the talent is there. It's just how long it will take him to get fully fit or fit enough to play, to adapt to his new team, and then obviously to adapt to the league. But with the qualities that he has, the pace, the technical skills, which are out of this world, it should not take too long to adapt to the league. To adapt to Chelsea, seeing how complicated the season has been, it might be a bit more difficult. But yeah, it's certainly a name that you need to keep in mind. And again, at 7 million, is really good, I think, value for money potentially.
It's been really hard for us this season to find consistent outfield players for Chelsea. There could be good news on the horizon though, Sam, potentially with Reece James and Ben Chilwell reportedly back in training. But Kepa is someone that's been a really good option for managers in goal. Is that still the case?
Yeah, guess who benched him this week? Yeah, I did. Played Danny Ward instead because I thought he had more chance of a clean sheet than I did Kepa against Crystal Palace. I thought Zaha might pop up with something. But yeah, I think Kepa is still a really good option in goal, particularly if Reece James and Ben Chilwell will come back, because, you know, Chelsea have struggled defensively, but that's in part been because they've had so many injuries. Like I said about Liverpool going forward, Chelsea have had the opposite problem. They've also had a lot of injuries up front, but they've had real problems and real disruptions to their back line, and they've not really been able to get a consistent defensive unit going out week upon week. And that's so important if you want to challenge for the top four. You need to have that consistent strength and keeping regular clean sheets. Now, when they do have their best players there, they do get the clean sheets, and Kepa often picks up bonus points and save points because they will allow those kind of low impact, good save potential shots from kind of far out areas because they keep them out. We haven't seen so much of that lately, but we did see that against Crystal Palace, and Kepa obviously picked up the 10 points, picking up the bonus points as well in that game. So I think he remains a good option. I think he gets a better option with Reece James and Chilwell back. And I'm looking at my goalkeepers for this week, and I'm thinking I'm probably going to play Kepa this week, because Liverpool going forward haven't been potent. They've had a lot of chances. But, you know, all those stats I read out earlier about the Liverpool attack, if they continue to have that many shots and don't put them away, then Kepa is going to rack up save point after save point after save point this week. So I think he remains a really nice option, particularly if you do want to have that rotating pair of goalkeepers.
Yeah, as someone that owns Danny Ward, I share your frustrations. Clean sheets are not something that Leicester do, as winning games isn't at the moment. And Leicester this weekend play Brighton. Of course, we saw what Brighton did last weekend against Liverpool. But we're going to highlight some of those teams that perhaps we don't look at straight away like we do with the Liverpools, Chelsea's, Arsenal's and Manchester United, because the other teams are where we'll find our differentials. And interestingly, 8 of the top 10 highest scoring players after the first 10 fixtures of the game week were differentials, meaning they were owned by under 10%. Sam, this shows us that fortune very much favours the brave. Why are they so important, differentials, to us in the game?
Well, I think, you know, as FPL managers, we obviously have kind of normally 3, 4, sometimes up to 5 or 6 players that everybody pretty much owns. And in seasons gone by, that's been the likes of Kane and Salah and probably Trent Alexander-Arnold, Robertson, those kind of players, the expensive premium players in the game that everyone wants because they bring in loads of points. The differentials are the ones that actually get you somewhere in FPL. They're the ones that boost your overall rank. They're the ones that help you win your mini leagues because they are different to the other players that your rivals have in their team. So for me, that's the spot that I almost pay the most attention to. I get my premium assets, my heavily owned players in, and I just forget about them. You know, the likes this season of Trippier and Shaw and Rashford, Kane, Haaland, of course, just have them. Enjoy having them, but have some differentials as well, because those differentials are the ones that are going to boost your mini league. So right now, for example, Kieran Trippier is never going to bring you a massive rank gain. He's always going to just tick over the points for you and everyone else is going to get the same. Pair him with Botman, who's under 10% owned, and suddenly you've differentiated your team. You've given yourself a boost every time Newcastle get that clean sheet.
That's making me, the reason for the pause there is I was looking down at my team and thinking, I am so bad at picking differentials. I am so bad. That's why I've not done as well this season. I realise that because I've tried to just keep in with the pack. I've tried to have the players that I feel like I should have rather than being bold. And now I'm chasing things down. I'm not normally in this kind of position where I'm having such a bad season that I need to play catch up. And that's why they are so important. Jules, any differentials standing out to you this week? You very successfully called Brighton to beat Liverpool and said we shouldn't ignore them. Any other teams that we shouldn't ignore?
I think Mitoma is going to come for me for the weekend. I was not brave enough, to be fair, to do it last week because I thought Liverpool, and by the way, he got an assist for the first Tulemarsh goal, which was a bit, I think, let's be generous, it's still very much Christmas for Kaoru Mitoma, but good, he's an amazing player, and I'm glad for Max as well and everybody who owns him that he got the points for the assist. I think Wolves under Lopetegui are quite interesting to have a look at, not because they are going to be amazing, but I think they're very well structured. I've had Bueno now for a few weeks and he's been returning in a nice way. Nothing exceptional, not the Trippier kind of level, but for example, the 6 points that he brought me last weekend was very, very welcome. And I think, you know, someone like Ruben Neves, even Podence, I think Wolves, although they have a tricky fixture this week against City, of course, but after that, it's a little bit better. It's something that maybe you keep an eye on because they have cheap players. And I think Lopetegui is going to make a really, really good team out of this team.
Yeah, they're very defensively solid, aren't they? Mm. I was at both of their games this week and they don't concede a great deal of chances. Yeah. They concede a lot of the ball, but they don't concede a lot of chances. But potentially this weekend, Jules, with City on the horizon, not the week to bring in a Wolves player. The other fixtures, and I mentioned Leicester, Brighton, Southampton, Villa, Leeds, Brentford, Bournemouth, Forest games we're looking at. Any players from any of those teams, Max, that you think could be successful this weekend or going forward?
I think Johnson from Forest. I think they're having a little flourish right now. And I think he's owned by, 1% of FPL managers right now? I think, you know, obviously the game they've got this weekend against Bournemouth is going to be interesting because can Forest keep up their run right now? They were pretty much at the bottom of the table and they've really started to climb up a lot more. And I just can see Forest doing something here, and Johnson's been part of that in these games. If it's Morgan Gibbs-White, is it Johnson? Like, I think these guys could really add a little bit of difference to people's teams right now that we shouldn't be writing off. So they'd be the two I'd be keeping my eyes on for this weekend.
I'm off to interview Brennan Johnson today as well, so I could potentially
ask him
if he's... Well, I can just say, are you planning on getting any points against Bournemouth? Okay, brilliant. We'll all bring him in. No? Okay. No worries, mate. Cheers. Also, Sam, do you think when you are picking differentials, should you play the fixtures? Should this differential kind of not be a long-term stay and be one that you move around a little bit?
100%. For me, that's how I use my differential slots. That's the position on the pitch that regularly changes. Because let's be honest, there's so many players that you're just never going to take out of your team. Unless they get injured, they're going to stay there forever. So it's the differential positions on your pitch that you can really make the most of. And they can be the ones that come in and out and you take advantage of. And sometimes they'll stay for 3 weeks. But sometimes you bring them in purely because they've got a nice fixture. Like, I picked out a couple this week. They're not players that I would suggest you keep beyond probably this week because it's Shea Adams and Damari Gray. So it's literally a case of, you know, playing the fixtures that Southampton and Everton have this time around, because, you know, I think that they could be good opportunities. You look at them. I mean, Shea Adams is owned by like 1.8%. I think Damari Gray is under 1%. I think it's 0.7%. Shea Adams has got a goal and 3 assists in the last 5 matches under Nathan Jones. You know, suddenly finding a little bit of rhythm. He's averaging 5.2 points per match since game week 16. That's a really nice return from a budget forward. When you think about him in the early part of the season, up until game week 15, he was averaging 3.2 points per match. So 2 points more every game. Now, that is exactly what you need the differential to do, right? You bring them in the moments where they've got the opportunity to really outscore what they've been doing so far, and then you move them on as soon as you can, because, you know, you look at the Villa team that they're coming up against. Now, I, a couple of weeks ago, and probably last week on the pod, was talking about how I like Villa right now. But defensively, they've conceded 14 big chances in the last 4 game weeks. That's the second most in the league. So an opportunity there, maybe for Southampton to get a goal. And, you know, you flip that and look at Damari Gray. It's got West Ham this weekend. We've talked about what's happened to Liverpool. What's happened to West Ham? Like, they are in an appalling run right now. In the last 3 matches, he has been involved in all of Everton's goals that they've scored. He's picked up 21 FPL points in that period, 8 shots, 4 of them on target. He's on some free kicks. He's on some corners. West Ham conceded 22 shots from set pieces in the last 4. These aren't players that you want to keep long term, but they are players that you could go, okay, this is maybe a week where I could boost my overall rank by investing. And then for game week 22, I'll move them on again.
I need 11 differentials in my team right now. talking of changes that I potentially need to make, let's talk about transfers and captains. Max, what are your plans with your team this week?
Right, well, Cancelo.
Oh gosh, I feel we should settle in here. Oh. Yeah, that big size.
Cancelo.
Yeah. Cancelo's up for it. You know,
I told you a long time ago.
I know, no, you did.
Here we go again,
I've brought it in for Julian, haven't I? He's going to bring it up. Yeah, Cancelo, for me, he's definitely up for it. You know, I think he's an expensive player, and we have mentioned Newcastle. They've got Crystal Palace, you know, and I'm sitting there going, is it Shaw? Is it Botman? Is it Burn? You know, I'm between that at the moment. So I'm holding fire. I'm just kind of sitting here just watching and seeing how it is before the deadline. And I've also, on my notes, I've got, is it Salah for KDB as well? You know, De Bruyne, they've got Wolves this weekend. I think he could really pull the strings against Wolves and provide real points this weekend that I'm not 100% sure is Salah going to do. So I'm not set on my decisions, but they're the two places right now because I've got 2 free transfers because I've held fire at the moment. And if I wanted to do a -4, I've got Ederson for Ramsdale, but I don't think I'll be doing that.
Okay. Oh, I'm envious of people that have got 2 free transfers after a double game week, because I always, before a double game week, I've always used up all my transfers. And then the week after, I'm like, oh, okay. And what about your captain, Max?
Captain, it's going to be Haaland. I'll be interested to see how they play against Tottenham tonight. You know, and I think if they do come out and get some goals against Spurs, as we've seen, that has happened quite a lot. Sorry, Sam, especially in the first half of Spurs at the moment, they've conceded a lot of goals, you know, and they're on the back foot, where I think City need to go in tonight and get a win to stay in the race. So if they come out and get goals straight away in the first half, I think that will cement Haaland being my captain for game week 21.
What about your plans, Jules?
I think it's hard to not go with Haaland, really. I mean, Kane, Fulham, potentially. I mean, Rashford, we mentioned the game against Arsenal, Salah against Chelsea as well. So, yeah, I think it will be Haaland.
And of course, you said before you're going to bring in Mitoma. Is that the only move you're making this week?
Yeah, I think so.
Who's going to go for him?
Yeah,
Jones?
Who's going to go?
Almirón of blame for three games.
Yeah, you see,
now.
I'm on this.
And watching him, and we love him, and Newcastle are still great, and they're playing good football. It's just that, I don't know, it looks like he's lost a little bit of the spark, maybe. And Bruno, obviously, with his fitness, we're not so sure, and we know the relationship that they have together on the pitch. So it's just one of those where I think Almirón would be the one, you know, making room for Mitoma. And then I save a bit of money as well. So
it also feels like now with Newcastle, their defensive options are potentially better than their attacking options. They've been so solid at the back, creating the chances but not scoring them, which is frustrating, doesn't give us any points from an FPL point of view. What about you, Sam? What are you doing?
Waiting for Klopp to speak about Darwin. If Darwin's then...
How many weeks have you been waiting for Klopp recently? I feel like you spend a lot of time waiting for Jürgen.
I feel like that's all I do, Kelly, is just sit around watching the TV waiting for Jürgen Klopp to speak in press conferences. I am going to be waiting for him again, because if Darwin is fit, then I'm going to keep him for that game against Chelsea. But if he's not fit, then I'm probably going to move him for a different attacking option. Now, the question is, who might that be? Ivan Toney's in the mix. And Ferguson at Brighton is in the mix, which would free up a lot of money, because I do really want to be invested in Brighton this week. If Darwin is fit, then I probably will also do the Almirón to Mitoma transfer, because that feels like a good idea. And that means that, you know, there's plenty of players that then get a stay of execution. I am starting to just feel like a wild card might be on the cards in the next couple of weeks. I think going into game week 23 in the double, I can see myself hitting the button, because by that point, we're going to know about the FA Cup, who's still in, who's therefore likely to kind of miss game weeks moving forward, more likely to have blank game weeks coming up. So I can feel it. Like, there's a few players in there that I'm looking at thinking I'd like to move you to somebody else, but I don't want to keep taking minus fours. So probably either Darwin out if he's not fit, or more likely if Darwin is available, then I'll look to go Almirón to Mitoma, I think, and captaincy. I'll be back on Haaland, I think, this week.
Okay, well, the very best of luck to all of you. Before we leave you, Max, I believe you're going on tour. So if maybe people have been listening to this and they're thinking, he sounds like a nice guy, I actually quite like you, Me at Six. So tell us a little bit about the tour, when it's happening, where people can get tickets.
Yeah, so we're actually doing our first show on the 28th of January with Amazon Music at the London Garage. And that's available to win tickets. But if you want to purchase tickets to come and see us, we start on the 1st of February in Plymouth, and it goes on all the way to the 11th of February at London's Alexandra Palace. And I have to give a shout out to our new record, Truth Decay, that comes out on the 10th of February as well. So if you like what you've heard from me and you're not upset that I'm an Arsenal fan rubbing it in Sam's face, please come check it out. I just want to say thank you very much for having me on the podcast today. It's a real pleasure and a big fan of what you all do.
Max, thank you so much. Best of luck in the official FPL Music Mini League. We hope you do well. I was going to say win, but if we get anyone else on from that league, obviously we've got to stay strictly impartial. But the best of luck climbing that league, and hopefully we've helped you a little bit today as well. Sam, Jules, any games you're going to this weekend?
No.
Call yourself FPL pundits when you're not going out to watch games.
I know.
It's a TV
Don't worry, guys. I'll be working across the games on Saturday on Final Score. So I'll come with all the insight next week with my wonderful FPL team as well. Anyway, enough said about that, because we know that's a lie. The deadline is, of course, Saturday, the 21st of January at 11 a.m. A reminder, fantasy.premierleague.com is also brimming with other help for your teams. And Off the Bench will be back on Tuesday, with us returning, as always, on a Thursday. See you then.